Next week is Labor Day weekend, the start of fall for many activities. But what I've discovered is that anymore, Labor Day isn't the start. Things ramp up a lot earlier these days for all kinds of activities. I mean, I think it even comes to the point that August used to be vacation time, but now that's not happening as much because all these activities start ramping up earlier. I mean, there's a new school year. If you're a college student, you're starting out, maybe for the first time, or returning, and you're worried about your heavy load. Your calendar may be full in your own life, frantic pace. You're wondering if you're going to be able to keep up with everything. And you're scurrying and hurrying around, and you have children. You take them this activity and that activity. And, oh, you got to get there. Oh, and by the way, we have to get to church on Sunday morning on time. Hurry, Lynn, can you get the sermon done? I got things to do. Welcome to fall. Let me give you a pop quiz this morning, okay? It's school season, so let's start with a pop quiz. We'll go with this. In the last 60 days, raise your hand if it's true that when you came to an elevator or a crosswalk, you pushed a button more than once. Come on, raise your hand. Okay, you're in a hurry. In the last 60 days, if you complained about Wi-Fi anywhere in your home, at work, or even at Starbucks, raise your hand. Boy, what a first world problem we're dealing with here today. In the last 60 days, at any point, when you came to a stop sign, did you pull out your phone and check an email or text? Please raise your hand. Now, keep those hands raised, those, okay? Everyone else, look around. Keep the hands raised. Look around. I want to make sure when you leave today, you give them at least 5 car lengths so you never know what's going to happen, okay? Here's the next one. The next one is this, that maybe you can go from pillow to presentable in under 20 minutes. Please raise your hand. How about 5 minutes? Some are 5 minutes. Good. Okay, the last one, you don't need to raise your hand. Last one, you don't need to raise your hand, but it's this one. In the last 60 days, you were wishing or hoping that, I just wish there was more time to fit things all in. I wish I could work on this balance of work and family and church and all of these things and faith and life. But at the end of the week, you just say, I can't quite get there. Maybe it's more than you would like to even admit this morning. See, we live in a world today that has good news about this. We believe that we can do anything, right? And that's a good thing. That's a positive thing. We believe we can do anything. There's nothing wrong with believing we can do anything. But where we cross over the line is when we believe that we can do everything. We can run life to the margins. We worry there's not enough time. We fill our calendars so full. And we don't know what to do with ourselves when all that happens. And we come into this fall season and things are ramped up. And the church needs you in different ways, and so does sports teams, and so does other people and volunteer organizations. And we're in such a hurry, and things happen, and just hurry becomes part of our whole life. And then hurry is really this. Hurry is nothing more than worry in motion. We try to fit everything in. And hurry is nothing more than worry in motion. And we try to out-hustle our worry, try to hustle, we try to make sure, and we get worked up, and we try to get to places on time, and we get upset. And I can tell you that as a young person, we used to do paper routes on Sunday mornings. Our whole family get up early. My dad was a pastor, and we do the paper routes, and we were ready to kill each other, actually, by the time that was done. And we would hurry up to get to church. and walk in to get there in time for church. And we had to put a smile on our face. And I got to tell you, we didn't feel very worshipful at that moment. The teachings of Jesus in Matthew 6:27 says this: can any add a single hour of the day by worrying? Our best strategy that we try to figure out in life a lot of times is, how can we out-hustle worry? Dallas Willard, who wrote so many good books on spiritual disciplines, who passed away several years ago, said these words: hurry is the great enemy of our spiritual life. He goes on to say, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry in your life. Not manage it, not reshuffle it, not to try to cram as much as we can, because things seem to be out of balance. And I think about that. I think about what it means to be out of balance. And I'm reminded of the times where I'm upstairs in our house and I hear this thump, 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 thump. And I'm like, what is that noise? And Dawn goes, oh, that's the dryer. And the wash has got unbalanced. Has that ever happened to you? And there's so much gets crammed on one side that it goes around and goes thump, thump. And it doesn't have this nice rhythm anymore. And you have to go down there and you have to take it out. And you have to rearrange the clothes just so that when it's spinning now, it's spinning in rhythm and quietness. And things not out of balance. I don't know about you, but there's many times in my life I have hit the wall. And when all of the calendars and all the things come crashing down, I'm just like a wet rag. I don't know what to do. And there's been times in my life where this hurry really has, for me, been worry in motion. I worried about so many things in my own life and how that's going to work. And last week we were down at the Yellow Breeches to baptize several people in our congregation. It's a wonderful time of celebration. It was peaceful, and they get down there, and we put them under, and we brought them back up, and they were baptized. And that same creek water, I went and got a scoop of that this week. You never know what's in this stuff, actually, okay? I don't know what's in that Yellow Breeches. But I think this scoop of Yellow Breeches water is a good illustration. And that is, this is like our life at times. And we start doing things, and things are happening in our lives. We have to take our kids to certain places. We need to be involved in the church. We have to be involved in organizations. Our work is crazy, and our family life is requiring so much. And things are happening, and we're shaking all around. And this is what our life looks like. It's so clouded. It's scurrying all around, that it's almost impossible for us to be still and to hear what God has for us. We're rushing and worrying around, and life can seem to be out of control. And the murky waters, we wonder, how can we hear from God? We're not hearing from God. Things seem to be out of sync. And then I go to this amazing Methodist tradition that started way back when the Methodist Church just began. Now, in our Mennonite tradition, in some of the older days, when we gathered together as a community, we would greet each other with a holy kiss. I'm still not quite figuring that one out, but okay, we greet each other with a holy kiss. But in the Methodist tradition, when they would gather together with different people, they would come to church on a Sunday morning or they'd have a fellowship meal, what they would say to each other is this. They would say, how is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? That's the first thing they would say to each other. Do you know what happens when you say something that to someone? It's not like, hey, how's the weather? How are things going? Oh, good. Yeah, fine. Hey, what's up? Hey, you too, what's up? No, when you say, how is it with your soul? That gets down in there a little ways. How is it with your soul? And when we talk about how is it with your soul, I want to not be Methodist this morning, but I want us to just pause for a moment to think about that. How is it with your soul this morning? And I want you to fill in the blank. My soul is grieving, overwhelmed, overjoyed, troubled. How would you fill in that blank this morning? I would like you just to close your eyes a moment. Close your eyes. I'm going to ask this question again. How is it with your soul? My soul is overwhelmed, grieving, filled with joy, or troubled. I want you to name it now with God, where your soul is at. Okay, now that you've asked that, how is it with your soul? There's starting to become a little bit of clarity. Because when things are shaken up in our lives and things are happening and it's just hard to kind of see through the murkiness, what would happen if we at Slate Hill would ask ourselves, we talked to each other, how is it with your soul? Are you grieving? Are you joyful? Are you troubled? See, I've been talking about hurry. But I want to talk about something more. Hurry is not really the issue. Yeah, it's the issue that we have self-proclaimed and it's our lives right now. But I don't think it's all about hurry. I think it's about something more. I think it's about rhythms of our lives. God created you for rhythm. He set that in motion. From the beginning of time, he set rhythm. From the beginning of the Genesis account, he started with day and night. Day was going out and night was coming back in. He created seasons, this rhythm of life. He created a week. And I would invite you to turn with me this morning in a very familiar passage in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. This is part of the Ten Commandments that God has given his people to know how to live. And it starts out with this. Exodus 20, beginning with verse 8. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So he's saying there is one day that is holy, it's separated, it's different, it's set aside, it's special. You say, well, Lynn, what does that have to do with rhythm? Well, it goes on to say that one day is special and the other six are different. In 6 days, he made the heaven and the earth. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. And if you're trying to figure out, well, now what does he really mean here? I wonder if I'm included in this. And he makes it very clear. He goes, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Do you hear these words? It says that God rested. Did God need to rest? I mean, could you imagine God saying, well, man, these 6 days that I created everything, I am wore out. I'm going to take a 1,000-year nap. Is that what he did? No, he didn't do that, right? He didn't say, I'm going to take a 1,000-year nap. Why did God say on the seventh day we rest? Because God created rest not for him, but for us. Because he knows how our swirling life can be. And he knows how he created us. He created us that we could have time to rest. And when we don't rest, and when we get hurried and worried about all these things that happen in our lives, and we wonder why things are out of control, we wonder why things don't go the way we had planned to go, we wonder why our life sometimes is not clicking. Not all the time, but just maybe sometimes. It's because we're like that dryer. Thump, 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 thump. And God says, stop, stop the dryer. And he opens it up and he rearranges things. And in that, he leaves space in there for some of that clothing to maybe fill in that space that the dryer goes in rhythm. So God is telling you to take a day off. He's saying, be still and be with me. He's saying, let me fill you. See, what we get messed up is we think that we're supposed to be the filling station. We're the ones that goes to fill everything up. But that's not what he says. He says on the seventh day he rests. And what that is that's the time where God is saying, hey, if you continue on this thing, if you keep going the way you're going, certain things are going to happen. And things are going to get stressed out, and you're going to, one of these days, you're going to explode. Let me be your filling station. Let me pour myself into you. Let me replenish you. The amazing thing is that God says for us to take a day off. Isn't that amazing? It's in the Bible. Okay? Take a day off. And so he's commanding us to take a day off and to stop and to rest, to be still and be with him. Now, some of you are saying, Lynn, you're stressing me out right now. You told me to be calm, but now what you just said just put my stress level up even more. How in the world am I supposed to carve out a Sabbath? I mean, come on. You're trying to make me feel better? Stress level went up, okay? And that jar right there is all shook up right now. In my own life. See, I'm not saying it. It's not my idea. You see, I love the words that we sang this morning. It said, ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing you. That's what it said, right? These are my words. These are ancient words that are principles that we follow. And we'd love to find time, wouldn't we? And you can, sometimes what happens is then we do this. We go the other way and we're just like, okay, you know what? Pastor was right on Sunday. You know what we're doing? Cancel everything this week, okay? Oh, soccer practice? Forget it. Okay, do this? No, forget that. All right, the kids need a nap. Yeah, give them a nap. Put them in bed right now. We need rest. Do all these things. And we go the other extreme and somehow we think that by doing that, by just clearing everything off the deck, that somehow we're magically going to find all this time. Let me ask you a question. When you do that, when you actually do the clear the deck, what do you fill it with? Oh, I fill it with time with God. And God and I just spend this whole time together just hanging out. Now, that's not what happens. We We do it for a week or for a day, or and then we get back to normal, the way things were intended. And we say, well, man, if there was just more time in the day, if we just had more time to do something, that would be awesome. I would give God that extra time. Let me ask you a question. The last time you got delayed or something happened, and all at once there was this gift of an hour or two or three in your day, there was a rain out of a game or something else happened, I know what you guys all did because you're a great congregation. You guys just said, God, I have 3 hours with you right now. No. We pull out the computer, we get on our phones, we do all kinds of other things to fill this time. So I'm not here today to be technical on the Sabbath, which day it is and how that looks. And I know to say to spend one day to just you and God and family and do that for one day maybe is too much for you to handle. Right now you're going for a brown bag to breathe into. So I'm not saying that. But I am saying that this rhythm of life is so crucial. And so how about instead of a Sabbath day, Sabbath time? What about 15 minutes? 15 minutes where you say, phone, you're fired. You are fired for at least 15 minutes. I mean, when did the phone become our boss? When did it become the boss of our lives? The thing about it is, it happens so subtly, and all at once, the phone becomes our boss. Maybe for you, it's like when you're going to work. Instead of having the radio on NPR or your favorite country station or this or that, that you turn off. You turn off the radio for that time and just be still. I don't know how you're going to do that. But we need to somehow get the rhythm of life back in the perspective of God's way. To realize that the God of the universe is still in control, not our gadgets. And I think about Jesus. I think about Jesus and his life, and I think about how his schedule must have been. All the things that he had to do. I mean, can you imagine Jesus' life? And yet, with as much as he had on his plate, as many people he could have healed, the Bible tells us over and over and over and over and over again that Jesus pulled away from the crowds so he could be still. And as I read the Bible, I can't find one single example where Jesus was in a hurry. Can you? I mean, people wanted him in a hurry many, many times. Like, Jesus, how come you're not already there? But I can't find one single time where Jesus was in a hurry, where he's frantic. I don't think in the Bible I read anywhere where it says, okay, guys, you know what? We've done 4 miracles today. We got 4 more to go. Let's move it. I also don't hear him to say at the Last Supper, he said, you know what? Hey, I'm heading towards the cross. This thing's happening. We don't got much time. Guys, stop. Start eating. Let's eat quick. Oh, by the way, take the bread or the cup, one or the other. We ain't got time for both. I don't see that in the Bible. See, I think Jesus understood. And he's obedient to the Father when he said that even Jesus needed to live in rhythm of life, to be still and spend time with God. And when Jesus could say many times, it is well with my soul. And so today, I would like you to all stand, please. Stand up. And I would like you just to put your hands out this morning. Just put them out. Put them out this morning, and I want to just pray for all of us. our hands open to be receiving what God has said. Lord, this schedule, this pace of our lives, it's all good stuff, God. It's good stuff. It'd be so much easier, God, if it was bad stuff and good stuff, but it's all good stuff. And some of us are like on a treadmill that never stops. And then we wonder why our lives get out of kilter or start thump, thump, thump. And when we do that, we stop to rest. And Lord, I pray that in this rhythm of life that you created us for, there's a lot of things in our lives that are stirring. And Lord, our lives can be so murky that we can't even hear you anymore. Lord, we want to find real rest in you. Lord, forgive us of all of the good things that get piled on our plates. Lord, I pray that we, in the midst of the hurry, which is just worry in motion, that we might long for more of you, that we might be able to live in this rhythm of life. And that as it was with Jesus, may it be with us. May it be well with my soul. And may we say, it is well with our soul. Amen.